1 Timothy 4:8 says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Do you believe that bodily exercise profits a little or a lot? And when you read this statement, it says that godliness is profitable for all things, but really the body is only profitable for a small moment of time. Excuse me. For one body, not the whole body. See, if I exercise, it doesn't really do any good for you. But if talking about godliness, if I study and share, then that does do something for more. That edifies the whole body. Perception versus reality. How many people today do you believe that reading Scripture and praying is more beneficial to the body than diet and exercise? Do you think most people share this viewpoint? No, they don't. But that's what God is telling us here. And this is perception versus reality. And I got to tell you, a guy that's 25 years old that chooses to sculpt his body, to take care of his body, same way with a woman, to do these things, to be strong and I don't want to, you don't have to work out to be beautiful, but I mean to make your body into something that you want it to be a work of art. Most people at that age aren't going to see that giving up that direction in their life and putting their hand to Scripture and praying is going to be more beneficial to them. That takes maturity, that takes time, that takes understanding, and that takes, can't even think of the word. That I've been doing it for so long and that I know. What is that word? Experience. Experience. I'm sorry. My mind wasn't there this morning. But that's great. But it takes experience to know that if I dedicated my life to this, that there'd come a time when wasn't really necessary to do that. Had I dedicated my life to Scripture and prayer, it would have been more beneficial at my age for those around me, those that knew me, right? This right here, this woman is carrying a 100-pound bag. It looks like a speed bag. I mean, a bag that a boxer would use, 4 foot long. You can see it hanging off behind her down there. And she's running. Look at the size of her legs. She's not weak. I mean, do you know what kind of dedication it takes to be able to do what she's doing right there? Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he developed the human body in perfect symmetry. Yeah, you can do that. That's what I'm saying. But he started his quest when he was probably, 14, 15. And he developed his body into perfect symmetry. The back wasn't too big for the chest and the arms. Now, you look at guys today with all the supplements and advancements they have, they're much bigger. But his body was in perfect symmetry. He's considered to be perfect. He had developed his body the best that it could be in relation to all other parts of his body. These people aren't weak. These people accomplished something in their life. But then you said it. Look at them now. Go look at Arnold Schwarzenegger now. That doesn't mean that he wasted his life, but that would mean, could he have chosen something more profitable that still would have been profitable for him today? And Scripture says, yes. Godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is. A lot of the times when we read about Scripture and we read promises that God gives, we always see them as something that's in the future, something that happens after we die. But God has assured us that He makes promises, and they don't just extend into the afterlife only. He says that now is. Now is. Mark 26:41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so people read that right there, and based on those images we just saw, doesn't appear that the flesh is too weak, does it? There are people that deadlift and that are power lifters and deadlift. One of the guys, I can't even pronounce his name, but he played on the Game of Thrones. He was called the Mountain, they called him. And he, 1,000 pounds that he can lift up? People that know this, that might be listening to this, would be laughing and saying, you don't know this? This is big time stuff. 1,000 pounds this guy can pick up. Well, a friend of mine, when he worked out, he tried to do the 1500, which was 500 bench press, 500 squats, and 500 deadlift. That was his goal, to reach what he wanted to do. He's got very close the last time I talked to him, but he said he just doesn't think he can make it. But that was his goal. Scripture says the flesh is weak. And that's the question that I had. When I looked at all of the things about the flesh and I started thinking about the things that make the flesh weak, I wondered why the flesh is weak. If we could develop our bodies to do the things that we just saw, I mean, my heavens, that woman's legs were bigger round than my torso. And she picked up that 100 pounds and run with it. I'd be lucky if I could pick it up and throw it over my shoulder without throwing out my back. And so what is it saying that the flesh is weak? You know, when this statement was made, when Jesus said this in Matthew, do you know what the context was here when he says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak? Sleep. He asked him to stay awake and watch with him for 1 hour. They were so tired that they fell asleep. And he came back and he says, why can't you wake and watch and pray with me for 1 hour? 1 hour. He said, arise. They're here to get me. But the context when he said that the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak, he's just talking about sleep right there. How many of us have been so tired that we literally fall asleep on our standing up? I'd say maybe twice in my life I've been that way, where my body just physically just gave out, just went to sleep. Proverbs 28:21 says, because of a piece of bread, a man will transgress. How much would you do for a piece of bread? Make a sandwich, toast it, put some gravy on it. Some good stuff right there. Fry you up some bologna, put you some onion and tomato on there. That's a nice sandwich. But the Scripture tells us that, yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. Scripture says that we will come to a place where we will be so hungry that we will transgress to get a piece of bread. You're not that way now. I mean, I just had breakfast. I just had breakfast. So a piece of bread, I probably wouldn't pick it up if it fell out, you know, fell out the loaf or whatever and hit the ground, or I'd probably wouldn't even bend over, just call the dog in there and let him come eat it. But there might come a time when I'd have wished that I'd have held on to some of that stuff. Do you know what the word transgress means? It's one of those words that you think you know, and you should know, and you kind of know, and you think, you know, I just need to look this up. Just need to look this up. The word transgress means to choose to willfully disobey. So a man is willing to steal a piece of bread and he knows that it's wrong to steal, but he's going to do it anyway. That's what the word transgress means. Iniquity means to continue without repentance. You should know these things when you read. And the Scripture uses the word transgress. For our transgressions, he was nailed to the tree. And so when you look at the words iniquity and transgression, they're not the same words. And so that makes a difference when you're reading. You know, I just thought, I guess if you would have asked me before I looked it up, without putting a lot of thought into it, I would have, if I'm honest with people, and I should be, I should say, I just thought it was sin. It is, right? To willfully disobey or continue without repentance, both of those are sinning against God. But there's a difference between the two. Anyway, Proverbs tells us that for just the littlest thing of a piece of bread, a man will break the law, whether if it's to other men or to God. So, I always thought the weakness of the flesh was things like physical attractions between men and women that would cause us to make bad decisions. Food, you know? Oh, man. You know, when we're eating breakfast, and I was going to actually bring bacon here, but I didn't do it because my wife says, I'll cook it for you. And I said, no, that's all right. I was going to bring bacon here. But anyway, you know, if we're cooking and we have eggs and bacon and toast or whatever, and we've all finished and there's a piece of bacon left, oh, baby, I'm going to eat it. I'm not going to let it just sit there. I'm not going to put it in a little bag, put it in the refrigerator. I'm going to eat it because it's bacon. And see, I thought it was things like that, that you would just stuff yourself, that you would gorge yourself for the food, the physical attraction, that you would just be drawn to something. Sleep. Sleep is a big thing. He just said right there, Jesus himself said it. The flesh is weak, and the context he was talking about there was sleep. Gosh, the worst thing about having to go to work is not the work for me. It's just having to get up so early every morning instead of just waking up and then getting out of bed. That's all I really want to do. I want to work, but I don't mind working. But I just want to be able to get up when I wake up. Whatever. Stupid. But sleep. Greed. People will sell their souls for money. Money's not the problem. It's all the things that you can get with the money. But people would rather make decisions that would gratify their bank account than to gratify God. And I'd have to say that I've probably done it. Bless you. I'd have to say that I've probably done it, because if you look at your life, that there was times that I cared more about where my financial status was than where I was with God. And if I'm faced with losing my job, that creeps right back in. How am I going to make it if I don't make as much, or if I don't have as much? How am I going to do this? Right? You can call it not greed. You can call that just trying to survive. But what, I want more than what God's willing to give me? Yeah. Sometimes. He says this is the flesh is weak. And so these are the things that I thought of that makes the flesh weak. But that's still not answering my question. Why does greed overtake God? Why is it that I would rather sleep than I would stay up and watch and pray? Why is it that I would be willing to sell my soul for a pound of bacon? Bacon. Why would I be willing to do this? Still not answering my question. Why is the flesh so weak? 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children. You have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, I'm going to go over some things that we should know, and I believe we do know. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit in us that's living within our body is greater than the body that it's living in. So you would think that the Holy Spirit would be able to overcome this flesh. Did in Jesus, remember? He crucified the flesh. But what do? Proverbs tells us that we'll know it's wrong, but we'll do wrong to satisfy ourselves. And we can say, I would have just sit there and starved to death, but I can't watch my daughter starve to death. I can't watch my wife starve to death. I can't watch my dog starve to death. Me, yeah. But somebody that looks to you to take care of them, you can't do that to them. You gotta take care of them. I have to ask, didn't Christ pay for our sins? Didn't Christ pay for the fact that the physical attraction takes over our flesh sometimes, that sleep and food take over our flesh sometimes? Didn't he pay for that? Isn't that what we talked about sin was? Is knowingly doing something that was wrong? And he paid for that. Look it up. Scripture says that he paid for those transgressions. And the iniquity, whether what it means to continue without repentance. You can't continue that way forever. But God gives you grace. He pays for your sin. He pays for your iniquity. He paid for the transgression. He paid for it all. And so why do we still focus on all the things that we do that's wrong? I mean, did God just come to make us a moral person, or is there something more that He wants to do for us and get us to see than just the sin that lies at our door? Does He just want you to see that you sleep when you can, and if I ask you to stay awake and watch and pray, you do that? I mean, what is it that He's trying to get us to see? Why is this flesh so weak that it can't accomplish the will of God? He's given us the Holy Spirit. Why can't it accomplish the will of God? Of course, yes, He did pay for our sins. But by all intensive purposes, when we look around, it appears that the flesh is now stronger to overpower the forgiveness of God. Right? We're willing to do what we want to do, what we have to do in our own minds, what we think we need to do, whether if it goes against the rules of society, goes against the rules of God, goes against the rules of our family. I'm going to do what I need to do. And that's a mindset of the flesh. That's where we're at. But wait a minute, this isn't a surprise to God. He's already said that for a morsel of food that we would transgress, that we would do these things. And He paid for that sin. And He gave us the Holy Spirit to overcome these things. Galatians 5:17, it says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." You knew this passage. There's this fight going in between us. It's kind of like the bucket diet. If sometimes you just want the taste of the food in your mouth, you know, and you're so full and you just want the taste of it in your mouth, and so that you get it in your mouth and you just spit out the food, you stop following the bucket diet. These things right here, it's like when you are stuffed, it's this fight going on. It's like when you're stuffed and you're sitting at the table and you've had that second helping of ribs and you've got that homemade banana pudding in front of you and you eat some of it and it was so good that you're thinking, I want a little bit more. And so you wrestle with yourself. And the question is, can I eat this banana pudding and keep it down? Because I'm so full that if I eat another bite, I'm liable to throw up. But I want that banana pudding so bad. So you're wrestling with yourself. Should I eat that pudding or shouldn't I? Man, I really want it. You're so full. I know, but I really want it. I'm going to do it. And then you are miserable. You're miserable. But you did it. And that's the fight that's going on in between you, between the spirit and the flesh. Remember, the exercise of the flesh profits a little, but the spiritual side for godliness profits a lot. But it doesn't appear that I've really answered my question as to why the flesh is weak. But we've narrowed it down. We realize that there's a true fight, a struggle going on between what we know is right and what we know is wrong. So, do we just want to do wrong? Is that what it is? Now, see, what we want to do in the flesh is against God. We're looking to think, this isn't wrong. This isn't so bad. But God says, this is right and this is wrong. And in the spirit, we want to follow God. But when we get in the flesh, some of the things that we want to do is in that wrong section. Right? It's against God. He says that it's wrong. But we're in the flesh and that's what we want to do. There's a war going on within ourselves. I said that. It's either to get up and go to work or you're going to call in. You ever been there? You're thinking, you're just like, oh my gosh, I cannot get out of bed today. I just cannot get out of bed today. So you call your boss and, hey, man, I ain't going to make it in. Ain't nothing wrong with you. And we've all done that. But that's where we are in the flesh, that fight. It's that simple. You know that you need to get up and go to work. But you've got vacation days. You've got sick days. And today is the day you're going to use one of them. And it don't matter that you have to lie to your boss to do it because you're going to do it. Why'd you just do that? It's because you feel bad. At least you feel bad about it a little bit. Yeah, I've been there too. Yeah. Why did you do that? But we're okay with it because we got something from it, right? Do you see where you're at? Do you see where you're really at in the flesh? You didn't really do anything wrong. They give you these days. They know you're going to do it. That when you call in and say, man, I ain't going to make it in. I'm sick. They know you're not sick. So they give you these days so you can do this. But you're lying. You don't call them and say, look, I got a vacation day. I don't want to come in. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm going to use it. That's not going to work. But this is the fight that's going on between the flesh and the spirit. You see, the weakness of the flesh that we showed in all these things has been forgiven. And it's been overcome by the death of Jesus in the flesh. Because this flesh, He put to death. He crucified. And this is stuff that we know. The flesh has passions and desires. The flesh, okay? You know, you scratch up here, it's not a big deal. But when you scratch certain parts that don't get touched very much, it just feels so nice, you know? Just feels so nice. The flesh has passions and desires. I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm just talking about simple things, you know? A woman's been on her feet all day long and she comes home and the man takes those muscles that he has and he pushes just right in the right spot to relax that tension. Make you feel better. It happens. It happens. Try having a woman that don't want her feet rubbed. And a man that wants to rub her feet. What are you going to do then? But see, he's crucified. He's took your passions, your desires of the flesh, and they're not uncommon, and He took them to the cross and He nailed them to that cross. He crucified them for you. Galatians 5:24 says that exact saying. So if He's done that, why is the flesh still so weak? See, we've got all this knowledge. We understand why we do these things because we've all laughed and smiled and because we know that we're telling the truth here. And we know that these weren't so bad of things. These weren't nothing to go to hell for. But the problem is that they were done in the flesh. And the flesh is weak. The flesh is going to go to greater lengths to bring depravity upon the body. So why is the flesh so weak? The flesh was born out of manipulation. It was the mindset of the devil. Look at how the flesh came about. It was the mindset of disobedience. Disobedience God cannot use and He cannot forgive. That's why the flesh was weak. The flesh was born from the mindset of disobedience. It's not going to obey the Spirit. It's not going to obey what you tell it to do is right. It was born from disobedience. It was born from the mindset that I will not obey God. Because when we chose to follow the devil and we chose to listen to his words and not God's, the flesh fell. The body we had fell into what we have today, which is flesh. And that was born out of manipulation. That's why the flesh is weak. It's of the devil. See, we think that we can train the flesh into submission. We think that we can push the flesh into submission. We think that we can make the flesh strong to withhandle this. But the Holy Spirit that's in us is greater than the flesh that is around us. The flesh was born of weakness to begin with. It was never able to overpower God. And yet, look at the way people live and how they see God. They've glorified the flesh to the point where they don't even see God anymore. Because the flesh was born out of weakness, out of disobedience. And if we remain in the flesh, God cannot use that, and He cannot forgive a mindset of disobedience. This flesh will always want to do what is against God. And you think, well, that's just ridiculous. Remember what He said. Can you not watch and pray with me for 1 hour? And they went to sleep. And He said, you are weak. You are weak. This is in the New Testament talking about Jesus. Hebrews 5, 7 through 8. Who, in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplication, with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, He was heard because of His godly fear. And though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Do you know why Jesus had to learn obedience? He was in the flesh. And the flesh was a disobedient mindset towards God. And He said, you're not going to win, even if you bring me to the point of death. And it did. And that's why we have the strength to overcome. The easy answer, the surface answer would be, is that God yet not redeemed the flesh. The Spirit's been redeemed through immersion, but the body has not yet been redeemed. You know where the body is? It's not in heaven with everyone else right now awaiting judgment. The body's in the ground because it is dead. It was born of death, if you want to look at it that way. The flesh was born to die. God will redeem that flesh one day so that there will not be a war between the Spirit and the flesh. And that's the easy answer. But I think the little deeper answer here is that we look at the life of Jesus, and He had in the flesh, tough call here, but this is what the Scripture is saying, in this here, He had to learn the difference between obedience and disobedience because He was in the flesh. Do you think His flesh was more obedient than your flesh? No. He said He had to learn obedience by the things which He suffered. And God did not hear Him because He was a son. Did I say, wait a minute, my son's calling. Nope. Yep. He said He heard Him because of His godly fear. And that's a wonderful thing because He hears us because of our godly fear. Remember, we already read where it says that the war goes on between the flesh and the spirit so that we find ourselves not doing what we want to do. The answer to me, I always thought, because look, if we're honest with one another, there's things that we want in the flesh, and you find the spectrum how far you want to go, from the little things about sleeping when you should get up to all the way down the line, that these are things that we want it to do in our mindset. And what we do is that we pretend we don't want to do them. That's where I've been. That's the only thing that I've seen, is that I knew that it was wrong, so it seemed like that the book, the Scripture was telling us to pretend like we don't want to do them. No. We did want to do them. And so you ask God, how do I overcome this? And how did He teach His Son? He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. He says, I discipline those that I love. Any parent has ever taken corporal punishment to their child, made them stand in a corner, took a belt to them. I mean, really laid into them for doing something that was dangerous to themselves, to others. They did that to teach them, don't do it again. And the mindset of this flesh, we need to understand, is that it's always going to want to do it again. And the only way we can bring this flesh in under subjection is by the Word of God. Because that Word of God teaches the Spirit in us and strengthens Him so that we follow Him instead of following the flesh. Do you know what happens when you don't feed your flesh? Yeah, you're going to get weak and you're going to die. Now, that can't happen because we live in the flesh. But the same thing happens to the Spirit. If you don't feed the Spirit, He gets weak. Now, He doesn't die, but He gets weak. And what I mean by getting weak is not that He physically gets weak, but you stop listening to Him. So if you want to win this fight between the Spirit and the flesh, then you feed the Spirit. It makes His voice stronger. It makes His path clearer. And then what happens is the flesh is just given enough to make it through the day. Just given enough to survive. You can do that with the Spirit, or you can do that with the flesh. But you need to understand that this flesh is always going to be disobedient to God. It was where it was born, in manipulation. God did not say you would die. And we did. Learning obedience or expecting something better in our life. Which one do you want? You see, the flesh is constantly going to cry out that we want it cool in here, not hot. We want it warm in here, not cold. We want steak and not ham sandwiches. Okay? I want pizza from a pizza place. I don't want you to try to make pizza at the house. It doesn't taste the same. You know? Our flesh is always going to want something better. And in our mindset, we always think, if I pray enough, if I sacrifice enough, this thing that I'm asking God to do for me, He's going to do it. Because I've sacrificed enough for Him. I've done everything that He asked. Why wouldn't He? Do you want to learn obedience? Or do you want something better out of life? See, that's where we need to be. We need to learn obedience so that our flesh can be brought into submission to the will of God. Because this flesh has a mindset of disobedience. And we're either going to do something about it or we're going to let it run rampant in our life. So the only two choices are, is that we're going to learn obedience from God to bring this flesh into subjection, or we're going to expect something better in life. Something more pleasurable, something easier. I guess it depends. Somebody said it earlier. It depends on how hungry you are. You hungry for God or are you hungry for this world? And I think if we're honest and we're true to ourselves here, there's times when we're on the fence. I just talked to y'all about not having a vacation in 2 years. I'm thinking a little bit about the flesh to relax a little. We're at different places in our life at different times, but we should never want to settle back into the mindset of disobedience. When Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit, who is every one of you? Well, people will tell you that was every one of the Jews that were there. But yet you have those same people that will tell you that. They will tell you that the Jews weren't the Jews. The new covenant wasn't for the Jews. It was for the Gentiles. The law was for the Jews. But when Peter made that statement, he wanted all of the Jewish nation to be baptized into Christ. And the ones that did, they were called the church. The way, the gathering. Those that heard His word and responded on that day, they started to learn obedience. Because I guarantee you those Jews, they struggled so much with coming out from under that law and following Christ. And there was a lot of them that didn't hold on. But there was a lot that did. And the ones that did, they learned that there was something greater than the pleasure of the flesh. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?